Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
When police officers use excessive force and someone sues, police aren't always held accountable in a civil lawsuit. That can be in part because of a controversial defense known as qualified immunity. Lawmakers at the State House this week are weighing a massive compromise police reform bill that could change that. Those changes could make it easier for people to successfully sue officers and other public officials who violate people's civil rights. WBUR's Allie Charmanning joins us now to explain how qualified immunity works and how it's affected cases in Massachusetts. Hi, Allie.
Hello.
So let's start from the top. Remind everyone what qualified immunity is and how it works.
Yeah, first off, qualified immunity isn't technically a law. It's a judicial doctrine created over decades through court decisions. Essentially, qualified immunity says a government official can only be held liable for unconstitutional actions if it's clearly established in existing case law that the conduct was unlawful. Plaintiffs need to point to another similar case already decided by a court that the action in question was illegal in order for the lawsuit to go forward. If it's not clearly established, the lawsuit is dismissed. Karen Petalor, a law professor at Boston University, explains more.
It's often the doctrine that determines whether or not the suit can proceed against a police officer, rather than whether the conduct was unlawful or not.
Okay, Allie, so what do people on both sides of the issue have to say about it?
Civil liberties advocates and others I spoke to say the doctrine has deep impacts on police behavior and the ability for a case to even see the inside of a courtroom. They argue that the bar for a successful case is high. Former federal judge Nancy Gertner said that the doctrine was first intended to protect officers from changes in the law.
The problem is that it has been woefully extended. It becomes a way for a police officer to get out from under virtually any accusation.
On the other side, I talked to Leonard Keston, who has represented cities and towns in lawsuits. He says it's rare that something egregious happens and qualified immunity is granted.
From our perspective, it is an issue of fairness to someone that you should not be liable if you didn't know, couldn't know that this was improper.
Okay, Allie, given that, what are some of the cases here in Massachusetts where qualified immunity has been used successfully by police or other government officials?
Take the case of Judith Gray. She has bipolar disorder and was having a manic episode in 2013 when she walked out of treatment at a hospital in Athol. And when an officer found her and tried to bring her back, she refused. He ended up tasing her in the back to get her to stop resisting his handcuffs. When she sued, an appeals court said yes, a jury could find the officer used excessive force. But, the court said, the officer did not know it was wrong to tase a mentally ill woman in the back who refused handcuffs because there was no, quote, clearly established law with similar facts. In another case, people might remember the big drug lab scandal out in Amherst. Chemist Sonia Farrick, for years, was stealing drug samples for her own use. Thousands of defendants had their convictions tossed because of her conduct. One of those defendants sued her supervisor in the drug lab, but a court said the supervisor was protected because qualified immunity.
All right, what about the other side, cases where qualified immunity has been denied?
Yeah, so qualified immunity doesn't mean the case is automatically thrown out. In a small sample of cases I reviewed, more than $4.2 million was paid out in five settlements after a judge denied qualified immunity. One of the largest of those payouts was to the family of Yuri Stamps. Framingham SWAT officers in 2011 raided his house. Stamps, who was not the target of the warrant, was face down on the ground with his hands on his head, and an officer shot and killed him. Framingham claimed qualified immunity and lost. It paid Stamps' family $3.7 million.
All right, now to the present. There are two bills up on Beacon Hill, a House bill and a Senate bill. Lawmakers are trying to find common ground between the two. Tell us about that.
The House bill, advocates say, wouldn't change much. It would only eliminate qualified immunity for officers decertified by a yet-to-be-formed statewide commission. But advocates say the Senate bill would make significant changes, removing the need for the law to be clearly established. Matt Siegel with the ACLU says that can make a meaningful difference.
It is designed to relieve the burden on the plaintiff to overcome qualified immunity and instead put the burden on the police officer to show why he should get qualified immunity.
I also talked to Mark Leahy, the executive director of the Mass Chiefs of Police Association. He says he isn't wholesale against changing qualified immunity, but he thinks lawmakers should study it more, as proposed in the House bill.
At least then we can make, or the legislators can make, an informed decision. Right now, it's an emotional decision.
So, Ellie, when are we going to know more?
Well, the legislature agreed to extend the formal session that was supposed to end last month until January. So it could be a while before lawmakers make a decision on qualified immunity.
And WBUR's Allie Jarmaning will be keeping tabs on what happens up on Beacon Hill. Allie, thanks a lot.
Thank you.